today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Like a lot of these bands, they're taking the punk genre and expanding on it in their own way, which is, the whole point.
Hey there, it's Jim Lenihan here on Rockin' the Suburbs. By now, I think you know what we're doing here. It's Punk Weeks. Punk Weeks, 2 weeks, 10 episodes, and we are at episode 10 with guest hosts Paul Hayden and Vasanth Ramamurthy. All right? And today, they're going to conclude the series with a look at punk in the 21st century. All right, guys, take it away.
Okay, we're coming up on our last era. So, Vasant, what are we going to talk about here?
Yeah, we're going to compress the whole, all of the past 26 years into the one section called the 2000s, just because we're trying to be considerate of time. But yeah, the first album I want to talk about is possibly one of my favorite, if not the favorite, of out of all of them we talked about. And that is the band F***ed Up, The Chemistry of Common Life is the album. This was released in 2008 on Matador Records. This is a Canadian band, a Toronto-based band. So I heard this album in 2010. I think like 2008, from like 2008 to like 2016, basically, I didn't listen to very much new music because I just gotten married, and in a couple of years we had kids, and basically I had no time to spend, looking for new music or anything. So just, pretty much just listen to stuff I knew, your classic sort of 30s period that they're, we talk about, people don't explore new music. So, but I happened to, I think in 2010, somebody talking about this album, which had come out a few years ago, is like a really interesting album. And yeah, they were right. So this is like your total psychedelic punk record. It has, according to legend, it has like 70 something tracks, layers of guitars, just like overdubs, dubbed over and over. So like completely massive sounding guitars. But to the point of being like very like disorienting and like having a woozy psychedelic effect. Has like weird instruments all over the place. The first notes on the album here are like flutes. The second song has like bongos as percussion, but like it all completely works. I would say the main maybe sticking point of this band is the vocalist, Damien Abraham. He has a bit of a screaming kind of gruff vocal style, which may be off-putting to some, but if you are able to get over it, I think the music is like supremely interesting and worth getting into. The other cool thing about this band is they also have like they have a lot of guest vocalists on this album and their other catalog. There's like female vocalists and sort of more melodic vocals that help offset the main screamy vocals, I guess. But yeah, this is absolutely one of my favorite albums, one of my favorite bands. They're still going. They're still extremely prolific. Like, they put out stuff like almost every year. So they have this Zodiac series, which is basically they put out an album for every Zodiac sign, and they're finally finishing up the last Zodiac sign. Like, they literally have a release coming out at the end of this week, which completes their whole cycle. And on
Jeez.
these albums, they do like more experimental, like 20-minute long song stuff. So yeah. So it's a good thing for you, for me, when one of my favorite bands is also very prolific, because there's no shortage of stuff of theirs to check out, and I have a ton of their stuff on vinyl and all that. So, but from their proper studio albums, I would say this is the most sort of most interesting one. Chemistry of Common Life by
Yeah, it's a great album. It's it does take some getting used to the vocals. I remember that being somewhat of an obstacle, and I would say that I would prefer the songs to be maybe a little shorter. But I'm someone who grew up with the Beatles and the '60s stuff, the 2-3 minute singles. So I'm always going to have to kind of figure that out on my own. But I just like how they bring it. Like you said, you hear flutes and bongos and just kind of like throwing everything out there, and it sticks. I mean, it's really well constructed. I think the using the other vocalists is a great idea, because it is hard to hear that, for me at least, throughout the whole thing. I remember, not that there's much of a comparison here, but Stephen Merritt, when Magnetic Fields put out 69 Love Songs, he goes, "People don't want to hear me sing all 69 those." So he brought in, all these other people, and it's kind of like the same concept, keep them interested. But yeah, they're a great band. I honestly have not kept up with them.
It's hard,
And
I know.
you mentioned how, when you're in your 30s, it's harder to listen to new music, and that's kind of my situation too with this decade. In 2000, I got married, and then shortly after, I had kids, and it was like, some of the more challenging stuff was just it was just easier to take a pass and say, I believe you, it's great, but it's one of those things. But this one I did stick with, and I still do play it pretty regularly. We'll have to do something off camera or whatever. You can tell me what else to get in terms of their other albums, because this is the only one I really am familiar with. But
Okay.
I think it's a great choice. All right, I'm going to talk about a band out of Australia, which is kind of the hotbed of punk rock these days, in the last maybe this decade. I mean, it seems like between Melbourne and Sydney, there's just a ton of great bands coming out. And the name of the Sniffers, I'm going to talk about their self-titled debut. Came out in 2019. She's one of those. She's a force of nature. I mean, if you see any footage of them on YouTube, I mean, she just brings it 110%. And the band, they kind of take on the best features of the Saints, Radio Birdman, and put a little more, modern spin on their songs. They're very tight. Her vocals are really good. They're really forward, and she has a lot to say.
You got an ego for you and never met. You walk around on my old leg. You got an ego for you and never met.
11 songs in 28 minutes, man, sign me up every time. I love those shorter albums. And probably the most successful band in recent years from this area or in punk is I saw they're playing the Salt Shed here in Chicago this month, and that capacity is around 5,000. So they're definitely breaking through, and more power to them. They have, I think, gone a bit more mainstream for what that's worth, or however you want to define it. But I would imagine their shows are pretty energetic, and I would never say no to go see them play.
Yeah, for sure. This is definitely a good pick. I like this album as well. I like the first two. Actually, I like all their albums, but I probably prefer the first two, I think. But yeah, good band. I think it's nice that they are getting more popular as well. And I think Amy is a, kind of a good role model as well for younger females. I think they have a lot of younger fans. So yeah, she's kind of a, maybe you could say she's kind of a new Gwen Stefani in that sense, where, a rock band where young females have a strong lead singer to look up to,
Yeah, absolutely. I think she's outspoken. She doesn't take any crap. She's pretty vocal about what her opinions are, and but she backs it up. I mean, she's not like, it's like, this isn't how I feel. Deal with it. And I think their fan base, appreciate the honesty. What do you want to talk about next, Vasant?
Okay, I think this is after yours. This is the next most recent album. This is a New York band called Show Me the Body. The album is called Dog Whistle. This came out in 2019, so actually maybe it's the same year as Animal and the Sniffers. But this is a New York band, and they are very much influenced by New York music from all through the years. Like, there's a little bit of hip hop in their sound. There is the classic New York City hardcore. There's the noise rock, gritty noise of New York. There's some electronic elements in this band. There's a banjo. Yes, the lead singer plays a banjo, which I've seen them live, and he's done that.
Inside of me, I hate them. There's no love in the world for me. Arcana, the only card I wanna see. Sometimes the last word has gotta be the first. Best stuff coming out, feeling like the worst. It gets you so good. Gotta see the girth, got a tie or a gun or a number on your shirt. Up late in the city, that's an enemy. Vision come awake, the lies and piss inside of me. I hate them, there's no love in the world for me. Arcanum, the only card I want to see.
So It's a really interesting band. They have a new album coming out in a couple months, I believe, as well, which I'm looking forward to. But yeah, just I think great sort of modern band synthesizing all these different kind of sounds into I guess the more the modern version of punk where you bring in all the current sounds and past sounds and make it your own. So yeah. Did you get a chance to hear this one?
I did, but really briefly, I'd have to say probably the I just didn't have whatever. I did hear it sort of foregrounded, backgrounded. I do like the hip hop element. I'd like to see more of that because I think that would be a really good trick to pull off. I mean, outside of what Beastie Boys, if that even counts, I mean, has there been a punk hip hop? I mean, maybe there is. Maybe I missed it, but that part I like a lot. And the banjo stuff, I love banjo, so I did not expect to hear it on this one, on this album. So I like that. Yeah, I do want to go back to it because I like that they're, like a lot of these bands, they're taking the punk genre and expanding on it in their own way, which is, the whole point. So, I don't think did you say they have a new one
Yeah,
coming
coming
out?
out very soon, yeah. Within the
Okay.
next month or few months, yeah.
Cool. So I'm gonna definitely keep my eyes open for that and also go back to this one because again it sounds like one of those or it seemed like one of those that it wasn't gonna be one sitting where you kind of processed it all. It's
Right.
gonna take some time, some headphones, et cetera. So yeah, this is on my list, my summer listening list.
Very good, very good. And then the last one I have is the band At the Drive-In. The album is called Relationship of Command. This one is probably one of the more popular albums I would say that we talked about. This was a huge sort of modern rock hit in the 2000s, 2000, 2001 era. So they were a band from El Paso, started out very much in the sort of Texas indie rock punk scene. Toured a ton, kind of following the Fugazi path of, touring and relentless gigging and all that kind of stuff. But for this album, they hooked up with Ross Robinson, who was at that time was known for producing a lot of new metal bands like Korn and Slipknot and whatnot. So that was kind of met with some skepticism at the time, I would say, just because you had this underground punk band hooking up with the mainstream new metal kind of guy. So people weren't quite sure what was going to come out of it, but because they had this producer, so their sound was improved. They were on I believe the Grand Royal record label, which is a Beastie Boys label that had, major label backing, major label distribution. The song One Armed Scissor, which was the first single, got a huge amount of radio airplay, MTV airplay.
Yes, this is the campaign slithered entrails in the cargo bay. A new
turd is the best. Let's hollow vacuum chop the oxygen tanks. They hibernate, but have they kissed the ground? Pucker up and kiss the asphalt now. Tease this amputation, splintered larynx. Shit has access now.
Sort of broke through, and then when everything was going great for them, it was all too much, and they broke up in 2001. Like, literally, I had tickets to see them in like spring of 2001, and they just imploded, canceled the tour, and broke up. And then they did reunite later in the 2000s. I saw them briefly in Riot Fest, but it wasn't quite the same as you know, how they were burning bright at this time, ultimately burned too bright and just exploded. But yeah, this album, I just listened to it like a week or so ago, and it still holds up. I use this a lot when I need to get psyched up, if I'm exercising or running or whatever, because it just completely gets you going. I think the production is amazing. I think it works extremely well with their songs. I don't think it's overproduced or anything, so. But yeah, I love this album, Relationship of Command by At the Drive-In.
Yeah, it's one I've had. I remember getting it when it came out, because they were certainly all over the press, the music press. And this was, you know, early years of marriage, so didn't listen to it quite as much as I wanted to. So I figured, well, I'll just go see him live, and then I'll make the connection. And I don't know, did you have tickets for the Riviera Theater show?
This was in St. Louis. I was supposed to see them.
Okay. Yeah, I was supposed to see him in Chicago at the Riviera, and yes, no show. So I was kind of bummed about that. And then, you know, it would kind of drop in and out of rotation over the years, because it is another, you know, intense listen. But you know, you can't deny the musicianship. And you know, if I recall, it was a bit of a polarizing album, because you know, on the one hand, they're this indie punk band or whatever you want to call them, but you know, the songs were long and they kind of jammed. And I remember there being some harsh words being written about them, which in hindsight is just stupid. But anyway, you talk about burning out too brightly. I just this past week called up a YouTube clip of them from, I don't know the year, but I'm pretty sure it's Metro in Chicago. And you can see why. I've never seen a band, like every band member except the drummer, just going absolutely bonkers.
Yeah.
Just jumping, leg splits, head banging. Like, and this is like the first minute. Like, how do you sustain this for like whatever, an hour or whatever? I mean, if they were doing this every night, I don't doubt that they just ran out of juice. I mean, one of the most intense things I've ever seen. And I'm just like, I mean, I knew they were intense. I had no idea. So
yeah, there's some clips of them on some talk show from this era. It's either Letterman or Conan. I don't remember which one, but you can go look it up. Yeah, but it's exactly the way you're describing. Just jumping, hair flying everywhere, and screaming. Yeah.
Feel the tentacle reach such a cut, the numb arms of the
Yeah, that's a great way to kind of close out this decade before we talk about a few other kind of honorable mentions. Who do we have here for the 2000s and beyond?
Okay, well, I think we each brought in a Australian band. As you alluded to, Australia is a huge scene as far as punk rock. I picked the band Cable Ties, one of my favorites. They've had a couple albums on Merge Records, but their first album, Far Enough, is really great. But yeah, they're amazing. And then your pick was?
The chat,
Okay.
and I did not write down the name of the album. Oops, but
I don't remember now either. I can't remember offhand.
it's their last one, and they just again they're kind of picking up some steam. I was really bummed because this past March, the Hives played here with the chat's opening, and I had work. I just couldn't get out, but I really, really wanted to see that. What a great double bill. I mean, to see the chats probably play a perfect like 30-minute set and be like, that's just enough. I'm sure it was like totally intense, but hopefully we'll hear from them soon. I think it's been a year or two
It's
since
been a
that
bit.
last record.
Yeah, good band for sure. There's that one song on their last album, which is, I think, complaining about the price of smokes being too high.
Yes.
Yeah, that was funny. Okay, a couple others. I picked the Philly band Mannequin Pussy. Their album I Got Heaven, which I think came out 2 years ago now, but they started out as a kind of a more standard punk band and then have been moving slowly into a more sort of alt rock direction. But I think they've got the right balance still because this album was probably my favorite of that year, 2024, I think was when it came out. But yeah, it's got they've still got the right balance of things. So I did love this album a lot. Other than that, Cloud Nothings out of Cleveland, they have quietly put together a very strong catalog. They have a bunch of albums, but they put out albums every few years, which are consistently very good. The one best one I think I picked is called Attack on Memory, which is back from 2013 or 14, I think. That's recorded by Steve Albini. But I think that proved to be a good combination for them with his recording skills and their sort of sound. So that's a good one. Another band that has a pretty big catalog, has been doing it for a while, is Pissed Jeans. All their stuff is on Sub Pop, but sort of a very funny band. So sort of have a combination of a lot of bands we talked about, actually. I would say Jesus Lizard, Flipper, the sense of humor of like a bunch of these bands. But yeah, carrying on the noise rock, punk rock thing very well, I think, into the current day. And then I think you can talk about the last one.
Yeah, I really liked the first album from Beer and Pet, self-titled. It's much like Animal and the Sniffers, you've got this, force of nature in Jemina Pearl, the singer, and they might have also burned a little too brightly, although I think they are getting back together. They did a few
They did actually.
shows.
I really enjoyed their last album, which I think was called Mommy, from a couple of years ago. That was a very good album. So yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that has the energy, and I think what the one song is like bicycle, ride my bicycle or something like that. It's just a crazy just going nuts for a minute and a half or something like that. But they had a nice sound, and yeah, they kind of changed too. Their second album was a lot slower, different, but I mean, I get it. You can only do that one first, fast record one time. There's really no point in repeating it. So kudos to them for branching out like most of the bands we've talked about in this podcast. I think that's Another common thread is they didn't stay in one spot, and they followed their their muse, and ultimately made great art from it. So what more can you ask for? The last thing we're going to do is we're going to choose one record from this year, 2026, to recommend to people out there. Why don't you
Yeah,
start us on?
so I will go with a surprise, surprise, going back to Australia. There is an Australian band called Station Model Violence. This is a band born out of various other Australian punk bands over the years, one called Total Control. I can't remember the other bands offhand, but the main guy has been in a variety of bands over the years in Australia. But this is the debut of Station Model Violence. Sort of a meld of punk and post-punk, some krautrock influences. They use 12-string guitar on this album, which is very kind of a unique sound there. So yeah, this I think just shows how the genre is still vital in 2026, how there's still great things coming out of Australia, if nothing else. If you
Yeah.
don't know, anything else about even the US bands, you can definitely count on them and coming out of Australia. So yeah, Station Model Violence.
It's the best kind of factory, the punk rock band factory in Australia. It's just one after the other. My choice was something I already called in to the podcast earlier in the year. It's the band is the Shits, and their album is Diet of Worms. And if I were to compare it to some of the bands we've talked about, I'd say it's a combination of, kind of like Flipper and Discharge. If they got together and brought in the guy from F***ed Up to sing, you kind of have an idea of where these guys are going. It's intense. It's funny how I can kind of process this stuff earlier or easier now than when I was, a younger man, let's say. And who knows why, but I love it. And it's relentless in the best possible way. And I think it's one of those, if you listen to the first track and you really like it, you're going to like the rest of it. And I think you're going to know pretty early on whether this is for you or not. you've heard it. What do you think about that?
Oh yeah, it's great. I like their last album a lot. This new one is good. And it's really hard to tell. I think this band is smarter than they let on, because if you just look at the title Diet of Worms, like, okay, like it you could either take it literally as like eating worms as your diet, but like if you remember world history and this, like when I thought about it, I was like, oh, this totally jogs my memory from like high school history. So the diet of, I think it would actually be pronounced worms, with like a papal assembly. I'm looking at the wiki right now, but it happened in 1521, called by Emperor Charles V, and Pope Leo X was the pope at the time. So a diet, like in this context, means a assembly of people, and Worms is a city, I believe, in Germany. And so like these guys have they're not like some dumb noise rock guys. I think they probably know about this, that like there's a double meaning here, although it's probably lost on most people who don't know the historical context, but I just thought that was funny.
Yeah, there's more. Yeah, I agree. They're smarter than they let on, and they'll have the last laugh because it's a great record. I think it's going to be one I play a lot and probably will feature pretty high in my year-end list when the time comes. So it's good to see that there's still bands out there still pushing the envelope, still making music that matters, that has feeling, that has power. One of the things that I'd say attracted us to punk rock in the beginning, it's still there, and it's just taken on some different forms, but the more the better. I mean, I want to keep seeing bands kind of expand and try some different things and keep this genre going, because I think there's an audience for it. I mean, there must be, because they keep making these albums and they're touring and people are going to see them. So I say keep it going, bring it on, I'm ready.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing if you look on Bandcamp, there's how there's still, I mean, I had no idea until I actually saw it, but like there's still these tiny little cassette labels that are just still happening where, these bands are just putting out, literally putting out cassettes and selling them on Bandcamp for like a few bucks, and everything's DIY. So yeah, it's definitely alive and well and going strong, and you can absolutely support it by checking out stuff on Bandcamp and going to shows and all that good stuff.
And definitely buy physical copies, go to shows, buy merch, keep it going,
Absolutely, yeah.
keep the music alive.
Yeah.
All right, well, I thought this was a great idea. I want to thank first Jim and Patrick for letting us record this podcast and share it with the community. I want to thank my friend Ken for giving me the idea to do some kind of punk rock podcast, and of course I want to thank Vasant for offering to collaborate and also putting together a fantastic timeline and helping with some of the technology. Couldn't have done it without you.
Yeah, thank you too. It was a great back and forth conversation, and I hope everyone enjoys it and finds one or more albums to check out if they haven't heard of any of them.
All right. So I guess we're going to sign off here, and thanks again, everybody. Hope you enjoy the episode, and I'll catch you next time.
Yep, take care.
And that's it for Punk Weeks. Man, how great was that? How great was that? All right, 2 whole weeks of punk. I'm sure you guys have thoughts. You can email us rock@suburbspod.com. You can find us on Facebook or Instagram or Blue Sky at Suburbs Pod, and send in your thoughts about punk. All right. And with that, Patrick and I may or may not be back next week. We'll see how it goes. We have some other guest episodes that are in the can. Might hear those next week, or you might hear us again on the Podwaves here. All right. It's Rockin' the Suburbs, and please listen every day, and we will talk to you next week.